Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
My mind came back to these verses in Proverbs this morning, and I just want to give you a very simple thought here out of the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1 today. And man, the book of Proverbs is a dynamite of a book. And if you want some wisdom, read the book of Proverbs. Read it. Matter of fact, read a chapter of it every day. There's 31 chapters. In the morning when you sit down to eat your oatmeal or your biscuits and gravy or whatever it is, when you sit down to drink your cup of coffee, get your Bible and read through one of the Proverbs. You can do it in just probably 3 or 4 minutes and meditate on that throughout the day. I think one thing, and I'll preach in just a second, but I think one thing that we are missing today is a meditation on the Scriptures. And I'm not talking about taking a blanket and sitting out on a rock and humming, but I am talking about as we go through the day, allowing the Scriptures to saturate our mind and to meditate on that. And yesterday morning I got up and I went outside, and a lot of times early in the morning I'll turn the goats out, and I'll walk down through the edge of the thicket with them and let them walk around a while. And our goats are like dogs, man. They just follow you wherever you go. And I let them walk down through there, and Leslie had asked me, she said, "You been studying this morning?" I said, "No." I said, "I've just been walking around meditating on the Word of God." Man, I love to meditate on the Bible. Amen. I got to thinking about them goats. I was going to use them as an example on that bondage this morning. In the mornings, whenever I turn them out and walk around the corner and they see that thicket and stuff, and they take off running to it, they're funny. If you've ever watched a goat, it won't run straight. A goat hops and kicks and goes back and forth and throws its head around. And man, they just go crazy when they see something they like. You know what? There was a day that I was just like they was in that fence, boy, and I was tied up in bondage. Oh, but the Lord came by where I was at and opened the gate. Amen. My life has never been the same since then. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 1, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. The Bible said this in verse number 20 is where I want to pick up at. "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all of my counsel and with none of my reproof." Listen to what he says. "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. I pray, God, Lord, that you would give us liberty as we preach this morning, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me today to rightly divide the word of truth. God, help me to say nothing, Lord, that you wouldn't want me to say, and only the words, Father, that you would have us to say today. Lord, our most sincere prayer would be that if there's one here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, if there's one here today, God, that's lost and on the road to hell, God, Father, may you show them that today. And Father, may they be saved by the grace of God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd challenge our hearts to be a better servant for you through this message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I've already said this, but let me echo it just a little bit again. Proverbs is definitely a book of wisdom. It is a book that will help us throughout every aspect of our life. We that know that Solomon is the writer here in the book of Proverbs, the wisest man according to the Bible that's ever lived is the one that is writing to us. Proverbs here in chapter number 1, and Solomon really gives us some stern verses that I've just read to you. Matter of fact, when we really think about it, these verses are very sobering verses. Listen to what he said in verse number 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. The Lord is writing to us through the inspiration of Solomon and is saying that the day will come that there is a group of people that will call upon the Lord, but God will not answer them. In our society today, it is a society of love. Now, I want to say something to you. I believe that we should love each other. I am thankful for the love of God. Somebody say amen right there. I'm thankful. I was reading back through Jonah this week, and I'm thankful that God is a God of second chances, but also God is a God of judgment. God will extend an arm of mercy. God will extend an arm of grace. And we'll see that in this passage of Scripture. But there does come a time where God says, that's it, I'm finished with you. There will come a day when people will call on God and God will not answer. Look at a few things by way of introduction this morning. I see the earnestness of a warning that is here in these verses. Look at what the Bible said in verse number 20. The Bible said, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. Notice by way of introduction, the earnestness in the warning. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice. Again in verse number 21, the Bible says she crieth in the chief place. I began to look that word crieth up in the context and began to study it, and here's what it means. Simply, it involves shouting. In other words, she is crying. She is wisdom, is crying out. What is wisdom crying out? I'll say more about it in just a minute, but that judgment is coming. And can I say it this way? Prepare to meet thy God. Wisdom crieth out today. The word of God crieth out to us today. I see the earnestness of this warning. You know, sometimes we hear the preacher preach and we wonder, why in the world is the preacher so passionate about what he's preaching? Because judgment is coming. I thought about that shouting out, that involves shouting. Have you ever been in that time of need when nobody was around you and you began to scream out for help? That's what wisdom is doing. Wisdom or God is saying, judgment is coming. Not only do I see the earnestness of the warning, but watch this. I see the environment of the warning. Look what the Bible said again in verse number 21. The Bible said in verse number 20, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gate, in the city she uttereth her words. The place or the environment where this warning is being delivered to, where is it at? Well, I believe that we could simply say it this way. It was all around. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In other words, in that day, anywhere somebody was at, there was a warning going out. There was a cry that was going out of what was to come. I remember, I guess I could say it to my shame too, but I remember years ago when I was a boy growing up, one thing that was very, very, very known was old time street preachers is what it was called. And you would go down the street in Winston and there would be people on the street. Man, they'd have their Bible opened up and they'd be preaching like a wild man. Matter of fact, I come through Dobson the other day. There was a man standing out there on the street preaching there in Dobson. You know what they're doing? They're saying judgment is coming today. Judgment is coming today. The warning, the environment, or the places that this warning is going out. God is sending a warning to these people. I thought about this, the earnestness of it, the environment of the warning, but I thought about this. I thought about the exhortation in the warning. Look what is said in verse number 23. The Bible said this, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. The exhortation in the warning. There's the precept there. What did he say? He said, turn you at my reproof. It's just not what the preacher says. It's just not what the Sunday school teacher says. Are you hearing me? It's just not what the singer says. It's what the Word of God says. And what is he saying? He's saying this, you need to turn at my reproof. He's God's talking to us. And he's saying, you need to turn. It's God that speaks. But I'm not only seeing that in this, I seen the promise. Look what he said. He said, if you'll do this, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God is saying, if you will do what I'm telling you to do. He says in verse number 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. He says, here's what you need to do. Turn you at my reproof. He says, if you'll do that, here's a promise. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You know what God is saying to us? If you'll do what I tell you to do, then I'll take care of you. I've said this before. Every choice that we have in life comes with a consequence. Every choice has a consequence. And the choice to follow God, the choice to do what God is telling us to do, comes with this consequence. I will pour my spirit out upon you. God is saying, I will walk with you. I'll talk with you. I'll fellowship with you. We can live in the unity together with each other if you'll do what I'm telling you to do. But note what your Bible said in verse number 24. Because I have called, now watch this, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Think about this with me this morning for just a little while. There is a retribution to not heeding the warnings of God. To not heeding the warnings of God. I thought about this. There's consequences that comes with not doing what God tells us to do. If the bridge was out down here, if the twin bridges was out down here and one of them was out, and there was a road sign that was placed here at the church that said, bridge out ahead, road closed, turn around, don't y'all go down through there, you're going to get hurt. And we decided anyway to continue on our course down through there. And we drove off where that bridge was at and was killed. then would it be anybody's fault but our own? It would be our own fault simply because we did not heed a warning of danger that was ahead. God throughout His Word, and God throughout His men, and God throughout the preaching of His Word puts up a warning that there is a hell to shun and there is a heaven to gain. But when we do not heed the Word of God, there's retribution that follows that. There is a consequence that follows that. Let me show you a few things. Number one, this morning, there is the reason for retribution. The reason for retribution. Look what your Bible said in verse number 24. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Why does God say this? What is the reason for God putting judgment on us? What is the reason that God decides enough is enough and judgment comes in our life? Here is the reason. Because over and over and over, God calls to us. God extends a hand to us. And we refuse that. God speaks to us as we read His Word. Or can I say this? The Bible even says that we can see God through the creation that we enjoy today. And as we ride down the road, as we sit in our homes and look at how good God has been to us, and God speaks to our heart, and God shows us that our life is not right with Him, or God shows us that we're lost and on the road to hell, and over and over and over and over, God begins dealing with us and we refuse the hand of God. That's what causes chastisement to come in our life. Boy, we could preach chastisement to the saved man today. They're God. Hey, look, God, my mom and daddy didn't know how to count, okay? Mom and daddy couldn't count to three. Y'all will get that in just a minute. Daddy said, do it, and if I didn't, the next was not 1, 2, 3. The next, we didn't even have phones. Y'all, we walked by a payphone the other day in the bottom of the courthouse, and I asked Olivia, I said, did you know what that was? And she said, no. I said, that was a payphone. She said, what do you mean? I said, you put a quarter in it and call somebody. She said, well, that's a waste of money when I can use one I've got in my pocket. There was a day, Brother Lloyd, we didn't have one in our pocket. I remember, hey, look up in here. I remember when we got the little pager. And they would put their number in it. And then if they put 911 in it, is anybody following me right there? Man, we had to hurry up and get to the payphone to call them. I'm being real, man. I'm being real. God has called us. There has been a call that has come out to us. God has said, I love you over and over. Mom and dad, they would say, hey, do this. And if I didn't, man, there was consequences that followed it. Daddy, I 10 times rather my daddy whooped me than my mama whooped me. My mama, she got psycho when it come to whooping. She didn't know when to quit. She would grab your arm. My mama can two-step better than anybody. She'd grab your arm and round and round. She'd jump on the bed with you. She'd jump off the bed with you. And then she'd whoop you because you jumped on the bed and you wasn't supposed to jump on the bed. But daddy and mama never just walked up to me. Daddy never, just out of the blue, for no reason, walked up to me, took his belt off, and went to whooping me. My daddy was not that kind of man. I understand that there's some people that abuse their children. Mine was borderline. But he never, for no reason, done it. Daddy would always warn me, Brother Jim, son, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to beat the devil out of you. If you don't straighten up, you're going to get a whooping. If you don't straighten up, what would Daddy do? Daddy would warn. Daddy would warn. Daddy would warn. And let me tell you something God has done to America over and over and over. God has warned us. God has warned us. God has warned us. There's people sitting in this room today over and over. God warns us. And the reason consequences come in our life the way they do, the reason the retribution comes in our life the way that it does, is because we ignore the warning of God. Miss Tina sent me a thing the other day, and it said this. It said many people does not hear the voice of God because they've already made up their mind what the voice of God is saying. Boy, how true is that? How true is that? Well, I'm going to do this because the Lord's told me to do it, but we've already made up our mind. That's what God said do. So we're really not even listening to the voice of God. We really can't even hear it. And I want you to hear me this morning. There was the reason for the retribution. Why did God say this judgment was coming? Because they didn't listen to His warning. I see this, number one, the reason for the retribution. Number two, I see the ridicule in the retribution. Look in verse number 26. I also, this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible, in my opinion. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. God says that there's coming a day that calamity and fear will come upon you, and I'll laugh at it. Why? Why is God doing it? Because of the reasons right before. Because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You have said it not all my counsel with none of my reproof. You've done... I've had to deal with some things this year, and a week ago Friday, I was talking to my dad about a couple different instances, and I said, you know what, Dad? I said, I've done all I can do. And he said, well, you know what, son? He said, you've told me what you've done, and according to the Bible, you've done exactly what you're supposed to do. He said, that's all you can do. He said, it's not in your hands no more. Clean your conscience to it. It's not on you no more. Wash your hands to it, because you have done what the Bible said do. Hear me and hear me well. God has reached out to you over and over and over again, and we refuse to listen to Him. We refuse to heed His voice. We refuse to do what He tells us to do. And God says this, there's coming a day that I'll be done with you, and distress and anguish will come upon you, and when it does, I'll laugh at you. We paint God to be a God of grace and a God of love. And He is. But there does come a time when God says, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And God says, I also, the ridicule and the retribution, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. The retribution of it. Look at the rejection in the retribution. I see the ridicule, but look at the rejection. Read on to verse number 28. I know it's real still in here this morning, but I believe that's where God's got us. The Bible said in verse number 28, then shall they call upon me. Boy, how true is that verse? How true is that, the first statement of verse 28? When everything goes wrong, then we want to call on God. We don't want to be faithful to His house. I've already hit this morning, so I might as well say it again. We don't want to do what He requires us to do in giving our 10% back to Him. We don't want to support the church and be faithful to the things of God. And we don't want to read our Bible, and we don't want to pray like we should, and we don't want to give God the glory and the praise and the thanksgiving that we should. But when everything goes south, Lord, preacher, get on that phone tree. There's nothing wrong with that. Thank God that we have the technology that we do today, and in just a minute, and literally in just a couple minutes, some of y'all's been with me when I've done call emails before, and as soon as I hang up, it's just about immediately that your phones start ringing, and boy, that's great. And you said, preacher, I'd like to be on the phone tree for the church. See Miss Leslie after service, and she'll get you on it. You said, preacher, I want to be part of that, those text messages to pray for people, and all of that is good, but hear me and hear me well. We cannot treat God like a spare tire and expect when we do that God is just going to come running to us and God's going to make everything all right and God's going to heal everything. Hear me and hear me well. We can live in the perfect center of God's will our whole life and devastation come our way and us pray and God not fix it the way we want it fixed. There does come a time when God says, I'm not listening to you. He said, they'll call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Brother Robert, could you imagine not being able to find God? I've went through some dry spells in my Christian life. And if you've been saved long at all, you'll say that you've been through some. Matter of fact, not long ago, man, I went through the driest spell in my Christian life that I've ever been through. It was the longest drought in my Christian life that I've ever been through. I don't talk about things like that. I don't talk about my personal prayer life. I don't talk about my Bible reading much. I'm just being honest with you, man. And I Brother David Williams is who I talk to more than anything about things like this. Matter of fact, Leslie and I was coming up the road the other day and was talking to him and Miss Amanda. And I hung up and I told Leslie, I said, let me tell you what I like about Brother David Williams is that he's real. And that he'll just say, yeah, preacher, I don't feel like reading my Bible today either, but I made myself read. I don't feel like praying today either, but I made myself pray today. And I told Brother David, I said, man, it seems like I pray and God is nowhere around. And you know what he said? He said, preacher, we just got to keep praying because sooner or later, God's going to show back up. But could you imagine going to God in prayer and God completely ignoring you? The heavens are brass. He said, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. The rejection and this retribution. Watch this, verse number. Here's the reason they was rejected, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. But watch this, the reaping and the retribution. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You know what God says? He says, if you want it that way, you can have it that way. That's what he says. That's practical. Here's your New Testament verse for that verse, okay? Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God said, since you sowed to the world, since you didn't have time for me, since you're not worried about me, then fine, I'm going to let you have what you want. You remember what Dr. Percy Ray said years ago, don't you? He said, God won't make you live for him, but he'll make you wish you had of. You know what he's saying right here? This is what the Bible's saying. What you're planting is what you're going to reap. Here in just a few weeks, it'll be garden time again. And man, we'll begin to get the ground ready and plant our stuff. And you know what, Brother Andy, I would say, now I'm 43 years old, I'm not in the 60s like you, I'm 43, and I would say in 43 years, and I don't think it's going to change this year, anytime ever anybody's ever planted a mater plant, they got maters off that mater plant. I have no intentions to go into my blueberry bushes this year and getting a bushel of apples. Why? Because they're blueberry bushes. It's the law of harvest. What you put in the ground is what's coming out of the ground. Are you with me this morning? You know what he says? He says, since you have chose to sow nothing but rejecting me, then I'm going to let you reap that, the reaping of the retribution. What did he say? Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Miss Tanya, come start playing softly. I thought about this. A lot of times, we think about life. And I want to tell you something that's sure about life. It's short. It's very short. I was thinking the other day about my girls. Madeline is fixing to turn 19 in May. Olivia's turning 16 in March. Victoria's turning 10 in April. I was thinking about when they was born. And I was thinking about Miss Victoria when she was born. I bet if you was to talk to Miss Amy back there, she wouldn't say that it seems like she's been in nursing for 10 years, but she was there. She was one of the nurses on the OB floor that day. It doesn't seem like you've been in nursing 10 years, but now you're married and you've got a kid. Life is short, man. I'm telling you. Brother Jim, it's short, isn't it? My daddy looked at me last Saturday, and I know I said this last Sunday, but he said, son, he said, I'm on the other side of this thing now. He said, I'm on the other side of this thing. He was crying like a baby. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, when you get where I'm at, you take days more serious. You take life more serious. I'm approaching the end of this thing. Our life is so short. And if we're not careful, we will, I say it this way, I think you'll understand, we'll gom our life away on trivial things. Now, there's nothing wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with fishing. I love it. I love it. I love it. Matter of fact, I told the girls, I said, I don't want y'all to get married and move off. I said, but just as soon as y'all do, I'm buying me a brand new bass boat. One of the reasons I don't have one is because I feel bad for spending time on it away from my girls, because my girls is going to be gone. I don't understand these parents that always want their kids to go with somebody else. I want my youngins with me. There's very few things that we don't do as a family. But there's nothing wrong with fishing, man, and I love it. Matter of fact, I'm looking forward to this spring and them being on the beds, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to fish a little bit if the Lord will let me. There's nothing wrong with hunting. Olivia wants to kill a turkey. So me and Brother Mark's going to take her and try to let her kill a turkey. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with playing golf as long as you don't get drunk and cuss. Are you with me? If you play golf, you'll think about both of them. Ain't that right, Brother Josh? There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with going shopping. There's nothing wrong with having a girls' night. There's nothing wrong with those things. But I want you to hear me. Life is short. And we better live our life for Christ. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And we get this mindset sometimes, especially young people, and I'm becoming an old man. We met a guy at the fire station Friday from New York that's thinking about coming to Surrey Community College from New York. And girls, I invited him to our youth group, and I told him we had like 22 girls in our youth group and two boys. And he wants to be involved in a youth group. And if you want to know if he was good looking or anything, Madeline can tell you all that. I'm not going to judge that. And the chief said, Madeline's shaking her head. And the chief introduced me as, this is one of our lieutenants, but he's the old man here. He's 43. Yeah, Corbin back there is going, yep, that's right. He's the old man. Man, it's flying by. And we get this mindset sometimes as young people of, you know, I got to live it up right now. I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I've got to sow my wild oats. But hear me, the Bible just showed us if we sowed them, they're coming up. If you sow them, they're coming up. You remember the way you're treating your parents right now is probably the way your kids are going to treat you one day. You remember the problems that you're putting your parents through right now is probably the problems your kid's going to put you through one day. You the wild oats that you're sowing are coming up. So wisdom crieth out in the street. The smartest man that ever lived. 300 wives and 600 concubines. That's the only thing that makes me doubt his wisdom. I'm telling you. Say, what's a concubine? One of the girls asked me that the other day. A girlfriend. But could you imagine 300 mother-in-laws? Or 300 father-in-laws? Anyway, I'm moving. He had everything life had to offer, Solomon did. Had anything, compare him to the richest man alive today. He had it all, and here's what he says. Wisdom crieth out from the street. Judgment will come. You better turn at God's reproof. You better listen to God. You better go the other way. You better listen to the Word of God. Because if you don't, the day will come you'll need God and God won't be there. The reaping of it. Let me show you one last thing. Look at verse 33. I'm done. Look at verse 33. Oh man, it's 5 minutes after 12. I lied, Hannah. It's a good thing you got a snack before I started. Look at verse 33. But I like that. That means that all of this is not the end of it. But what did he say? But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. You know what he said? Here's what he's saying. If you'll do what I'm telling you to do, if you will fear me, if you will live according to my word, if you will do what I've told you to do in the verses prior to this, that the day will come that you'll cry out to me and I will be there for you. Every time you turn and need me, I'll be there. I'll help you. I'll lead you. Whatever you need is what I am. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, I'm glad that God didn't leave it at a place where if we sow wild oats that God will never hear us, because we've all sowed wild oats. But he said this, if you will hearken unto my voice, then you can dwell in safety. Your life does not have to end in tragedy. Let me explain. My life may end in tragedy of a car accident, but my life don't have to end in the tragedy of me messing my life up, me leaving my wife, me cheating on my wife, me resigning the church, me falling into deep sin. No, my life don't have to end that way. Why? Because I can listen to wisdom crying in the street, saying, come after me. Can I ask you a question this morning and I'm done? That was my introduction, by the way. I never got to my message. But can I ask you a question this morning? Are you saved? That's what he's crying out here. He's saying, turn from your wicked ways, turn to the Lord. If you die and go to hell out of this service, there's three things you're going to step over. You're going to step over the words of the Scripture. Because it's been preached to you. You're going to step over the warning of the saint because somebody's told you. And you're going to step over the willingness of his suffering because he willingly died so that you don't have to call on him and him not answer. He willingly died so that you could come to him and accept him.